Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place. I trust that you have sensed the very same thing, sensing the presence of the Lord in the place. That's what it's all about. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. 2 Chronicles, you have 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord, and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, because they had transgressed against the Lord. With 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Succums, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah, and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves. Therefore, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass, and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again this morning, we again thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity that you've made available to each one of us that are here, the fact that we've taken advantage of the opportunity and we're here this morning. I just pray that you would continue to meet with us, and I pray, God, that you would help each and every one here to have an ear to hear exactly what you have for them. And Lord, as they receive that it would be the help that they need to just draw closer to you. Just pray, God, that you'd empower the preaching of thy word at this time. Use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled just simply, Things Can Still Go Well with Brass Shields. Things can still go well. There in verse 12 it says, and in Judah things went well. Things can still go well, even though it's not God's preferred will, his perfect will. But things can still go well with brass shields. As we look at this particular story that the Bible gives to us about the nation of Israel, and we're to learn things and biblical principles that we learn from the Old Testament stories are still true today. and biblical principles, truth about God never change. God is an immutable God. That means that he changes not. And so we find that if we learn how God works in the Old Testament, we'll find the very same biblical principles true to how God works in the New Testament and all times, because God is immutable. But under King David and then King Solomon, Israel became a mighty nation. All the ungodly nations of the known world feared the God of Israel because of how they saw the God of Israel and work to empower Israel. And there was not a nation that could stand against the nation of Israel when the people of Israel were looking to God. And the kings of Israel were under his authority. We find that they became a great and mighty nation. After the death of Solomon, David died and charged Solomon. And then after the death of Solomon, there was a division. There was the divided kingdom. The kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, all still being the Israel, but in two different divided kingdoms. Rehoboam becomes the king of Judah. In verses 1 and 2, it reveals to us that Rehoboam, once he had assured his place as the king of Judah, that Rehoboam forsakes the laws of God. He decides that he's going to lead Judah in whatever direction he wanted to lead Judah. And he was not looking to obey the word of God. He was not looking to be under the authority of God as he had a position now. And he took advantage of the position that he had. And he led Israel against the laws of God. He forsook the laws of God. The Bible reveals in verse 2 that after 5 years, God raises up Shishak. Gave him 5 years to be able to turn back to the Lord. He gave him 5 years of this rebellion. And who knows how long God will allow someone to live in sin and rebel against him. But we find here that after 5 years, God raises up Shishak, king of Egypt, to judge their rebellion. We do know that God will judge sin, especially the sins of his children. Verse 5, God reveals to Rehoboam through the prophet Shemaiah what God was doing and why. I believe God makes his children aware of judgment. As a child of God's, if you are living in sin, God will, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, make you aware of the judgment of God. And there will be conviction. There will be chastisement at some point in your life. And God, I believe, reveals that to us. We know that we're living outside of God's will, and we understand why judgment comes upon our lives. Well, God reveals it to Rehoboam through the prophet Shemaiah. He'd already raised up the king Shishak, and they were going to come in and possess the land. Well, in verse 6, Rehoboam and all Judah repent. Now they see exactly what's taken place, and they're very sorry for their sins, and there is a sorrow that leads to repentance. And when they repent, they cry out, God is righteous. Now, God is righteous, whether you realize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, God is always righteous. He is always right in what he does. And so they cry out in repentance, and now they're forsaking their sin. They began with forsaking God, and now they're forsaking their sin, and they're looking to God and crying out, you're right. I'm wrong. What a blessing it is. That's the kind of repentance that God is looking for when we're living in rebellion. Verse 7, we find that God responds like God responds to confession of sin. If we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I tell you, that's God. God would much rather you confess and forsake your sin than him having to judge you in your sin. God always, if Wednesday night we studied in our study in Noah, that God always extends grace before judgment. So God responds like God will always respond to genuine repentance and humility before him. There has to be humility for there to be genuine repentance. There has to be an acknowledgement that God is right and I am wrong. Amen. Humbling myself before God, saying, God, you are right and you're righteous, and I deserve whatever you deserve, you desire to do to me. I deserve whatever punishment. I deserve whatever I receive because of what I have done. I'm wrong. You're right. You're righteous. And I humble myself before you and ask for forgiveness. Amen. That we find that that's what's going on here. And as God's people do this, God responds that way always. The way that he has responded from the very beginning, with a greater desire to extend grace. Verse 8, as we study here, even though forgiveness was granted, there would still be some consequences to their sins. There always is. There are consequences to every sin. Every sin that we commit, we give Satan more power over us. Because sin scars. Those scars might fade, but they don't ever go away. Consequences to sin. And so because of this, we find even though God forgiveness was granted, there would be still be some consequences to their sin. At this time, they would be under Egyptian authority. Shishak had already been risen up. He had already somewhat conquered most of the land. It's only Jerusalem now that he's going to finally come into, and that's where they had all gathered because of Shishak. And so now they're all in Jerusalem, and at this time they would be under Egyptian authority, but would still be allowed to worship God. That would be the grace. Instead of being annihilated, God would spare their lives, and not only would he spare their lives, he would allow them to continue to worship him. Look there in verse 8. I want you to see that again. He said, nevertheless, they shall be his servants. They're going to be under the authority of Shishak. They're going to be under Egyptian authority. But God says, I'll use that. He says, that they may know my service. You're going to be under Egyptian authority, but I am going to work in a way where you are going to continue to be allowed to serve me and worship me, even though you're under Shishak's authority. I'm going to work a work in his heart where he's going to allow you to continue to serve me. And as you serve me, it will be a testimony to the Egyptians. So God is working here, even though he's sharing, he is giving them grace. There's still consequences to their sin. And now that they've repented, God is working now in their lives. And so this is the way it's going to be for this period of time. They'll be under his authority, Shishak, or Egyptian authority, paying tribute to Egypt. But they will still be allowed to serve the Lord. Well, in doing this, in verse 9 and 10, they would lose their gold shields. What God allowed them to have when they were inside the will of God. What they had underneath the leadership of Solomon. Under the leadership of Solomon, what great years Israel had. And he built the temple of God. And with that, he becomes one of the most wealthiest men on this planet Earth. And Israel becomes the greatest powerhouse on the planet. And so in this nation, this mighty nation that was established through Solomon's rule, Solomon had them create shields of gold. And this was God's blessings. It was symbolic of God's blessings upon their lives, the shields of gold. But because of their consequences to their sin, they would lose these shields of gold. But would be allowed to use shields of brass. Shields of gold have been taken. And so in verse 10 it said, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. There was still a need for shields, and there was still a use for shields. And as they was going to continue to serve the Lord, even though it was under different circumstances now, But God would still allow them to be used as a testimony. And not now they would not have the shields of gold, but they would have shields of brass. And even with the shields of brass, things went well in Judah. Wow. That's pretty much what the Bible tells us right here. That's the story that we've just read. How does that apply to our lives? There's much here. There's a whole lot here. There's many biblical principles that we learn from this story that are given to us through Christ, given to the Christian and understanding how God works in our lives. First of all, God wanted them to have gold. God blessed them with gold shields. They had gold shields as long as they were living for God and doing what God wanted them to do. God's blessings was upon their lives. 1 Kings, look back with me. 1 Kings chapter 2. What was that? David passes this on to Solomon, this truth concerning God's blessings upon his life. Now, David had received from Abraham, who had received from Adam, the covenant that God would make. From the covenant with Adam, and then the covenant with Abraham, and then the Davidic covenant with David. God revealed to him, if you want my blessings upon your life, then this is what you must do. And as long as you continue to do this and look to me, then you can have and you can expect to have my blessings upon your life, whatever they might be. But his blessings upon their lives would be symbolic in understanding it's the gold shields. The gold shields was what God wanted them to have. It was God's blessings, his perfect blessings upon their lives. It was God's perfect will for their lives. So here we find in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, that David now is passing on this covenant. He's passing on to Solomon this truth of the covenant that God had given to them, that he received from Abraham, that Abraham received from Adam. And the Bible says in verse 3, and David says to Solomon, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Wow. It's just been what God established with Adam. God pretty much told Adam the very same thing. Then God passed that on to Abraham. He told Abraham the very same thing. Maybe worded a little bit different, but the same principle. Moses had the very same thing passed on, the very same principles of what it's going to take in order to have gold shields. God revealed it to David. David passed it on to Solomon. It was to be passed on from one king to the next king to the next, to the leadership of Israel. It's a message that God has from God to man, which Jesus brought to us for this New Testament church age. Simply put, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you just simply look to me in my ways and do what I say to do, then listen, I will bless you. You can have the gold shield. I want you to have it, but you having it will be determined by how you look to me and how you obey my word. Gold shield. Gold is to know God and receive his gift of salvation at the age of accountability. In this New Testament church age and this life that we're living today, can I tell you, it's God's will that every child receive him as soon as they come to the age to understand what they must do to be saved. That's the age of accountability. Now, I believe that different children come to that age of accountability sooner than others. If they've been around more the Word of God, they've been around the teachings, they've seen God, and they know about God, then they're going to come to the place to realize, because of the Word of God, that I need to get saved. And when they can explain to you exactly why they need to get saved, then they have come to that age of accountability, and praise the Lord, they need to be allowed to call upon the name of the Lord to get saved. And as they get saved, then they want to be discipled. They need to be discipled to understand, all right, now what does God expect from me? And as they have that revealed to them, it's up to them and their own free will to adhere to that and say, I choose to serve God. I choose to be all that God wants me to be. And as long as they continue to do that, then they can have gold shields. God's hand of blessing upon their lives. And that's God's desire for every child that comes at the age of accountability. That's why he's given the church the Great Commission. That's why he has commissioned his church to understand that the whole world needs to hear the gospel. And so I'm going to commission you, church, to go into all the world. Amen. I'm going to commission you, and this is going to be the most important thing that you do as a New Testament church, that you take the gospel into all the world so that every man, woman, and child will have an opportunity to receive what I want them to receive, and that is salvation through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is God's will for every, that is God's gold shield for every individual. Wow. To receive the gift of salvation at the earliest age possible. I believe that's why children need to be reached and taught the Bible. I'm so glad, as far as I know, and I've mentioned this to you before, it's just a great thought in my own heart. The first time I come under conviction of my need to be saved, I accepted Christ as my Savior. 8 years old. I can remember as if it was yesterday. I believe God will give us that recollection, that day of remembrance of when you received him as your Savior. You might not understand everything about it, but you can know that you, of your own free will, asked Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. 8 years old. I didn't understand everything about the Bible, but I knew that I was lost. I knew what the Bible said I must do to be saved. And I received salvation, and that was God's perfect will for my life. God's perfect will for every child's life, as soon as you come to that age of accountability and you realize that you're lost in need of a Savior, that you will say yes to God. Not everybody can say that. Many would have to look at their life and realize that I put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. Finally, you got saved. Praise the Lord for it. But what took place, the time you were putting it off until the time that you got saved, affected your life. Gold is to know God and receive him, his gift of salvation at the age of accountability. Because gold is also for all to live without scars of sin. You see, when Rehoboam forsook the Lord, after he established in chapter 12 and verse 1, he established to make sure that I have the position and I am the king now. When he had that position of the king, then he forsook the one that gave him the position. He turned away from the one that had given him the gold shield. And now he is forsaking the Lord and leading the whole nation of Judah outside and away from the will of God. And as he was doing that, the sin was scarring the nation of Judah. Can I tell you, that's why the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 10, verse 1, that it's God's will for us to sin not. Because God knows that every sin that we commit scars. It's God's will that you live without scars of sin. This idea, well, my young people, I've got to let my teenagers do what they want to do. I've got to let them sow their wild oats. That is so ridiculous. Why allow them to scar their lives when you, as an authority figure, can help them to live without the scars of sin? Every sin that we yield to, every sin that we commit, in some fashion, scars the mind and it scars the body. Certain sins scar the body. All sins scar the mind. Later on in life, we look back and we realize why we struggle with so many things is because we've allowed Satan to have certain footholds in our minds and footholds in our thoughts and footholds in our lives. And now we have even more to battle. If I hadn't have yielded to that sin, I would have never known that sin. If I hadn't have yielded that, I would not have had the scars of that sin. But now I have to live the rest of my life on planet Earth with the scars of sin. Can I tell you, that's not God's will. God's perfect will for your life is that you would not sin, so that you would not have to battle the scars of sin. That's His perfect will. Gold is one marriage. Gold is one marriage, and to raise our children as a family under one roof. Always has been, always will be. Mark chapter 10, I want you to see this. I think this is important to know. This is not changing because of society today. Now, society's in a mess because of divorce, because of multiple marriages, and because children are being raised with multiple parents, and the confusion of being raised, and everything that goes along with that. These are all scars of sin that scar the raising of children. The Bible says in Mark in chapter 10, Jesus asked them, they had come to ask him about divorce. He says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And that's all God made is male and female. And for this cause, God made them male and female for a reason, for a purpose. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, this is God's gold. This is God's gold shield. This is what God's perfect will is for every marriage. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God's will for every child is to receive Him, is to live their life being discipled and understanding the will of God. And when they come to that place in their life, when they're ready to leave mom and dad, when they're ready to establish their own home, they're going to pick out a mate that loves the Lord, and they're going to be united and to become one flesh, and then they're going to commit to a marriage which is supposed to be until death do you part, and they're going to have a Christian family, and they're going to raise their children under that one family. Listen to me, that is God's gold shield for humanity. Is that what everyone experiences? No. Is that what everyone ought to strive for? Is that how you ought to raise your children? Yes. These young people, especially you teenagers, and especially college career going outside, that you better understand how important it is. When you get married, in God's eyes, God's goal for your life is one marriage for lifetime. But if you marry the wrong person, can I tell you something? That person that you marry could have the place that you've given them to take away your gold. Because it takes two to stay married. One person cannot sustain a marriage. One person cannot hold a marriage together. And because it takes two for that marriage to sustain marriage, if one does not want to be married, then both lose their gold shield. Both will lose the God's perfect will upon their lives in one marriage, one family for life. That's gold. Just because the world accepts multiple marriages, and I don't believe you ought to treat anybody as second-class citizens. I don't believe that at all. We all have scars. We all have a past. There's none perfect. All of us are sinners. But I'm telling you, I am revealing to you, first of all, it was God's will for them to have the gold shields. And this is what God reveals to us, that we might understand that is what God would have us to have as gold shields. And we ought to be raising our children to understand this is gold shields. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And marriage is to be until death do you part. No matter what the world and the philosophies of the world are, Christian families ought to be raising their children to understand this is gold. This is God's will for your life. Gold is to finish your course. Gold is to live for God as long as you live on this planet Earth. Paul would write that he fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. But not everyone does. In 2 Peter chapter 3, let me just read to you. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says this. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Fall from finishing your course. Fall from whatever reason and not finishing the way you ought to finish in your testimony for God. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. As long as we have breath in our lungs, we ought to look to glorify the Lord with it. Amen. That's gold shield. That's God's will. If we look back in Israel, as we look back to our text this morning, they had the gold. They had the gold. They had the blessings of God upon Israel and Judah. But now the gold was gone. They were turned over for judgment. Can I tell you that if the gold is gone, we need to accept the fact that it's our sin that caused it. God is still a great God. God is still righteous. God is still a good God. God, no, it wasn't God's will. But if you don't have God's gold, it's because of man's sin. They committed the very same sins, the acts of sins that caused God to judge the other nations in the promised land. In the promised land, God judged those nations because of their sin. And now he is going to give that land to Israel. And now Israel is committing the very same sins that he judged the other nations by. How can God allow them to stay in the land? How can God allow them to continue to have the gold? He will not. But it's because of their choice to turn away from God. Matter of fact, 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm almost finished here. You got to stay with me here. 1 Kings chapter 14. In 1 Kings chapter 14, it reveals to us their sins. This is the very same account, only in the Kings. And it reveals to us exactly what they did in order to lose the gold. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill, under every green tree. What? The idolatry. They started looking to other so-called gods. They started accepting every kind of philosophy of worship, which is not true worship. And the second thing they did, and there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations. Idolatry and immorality is an abomination, the Bible says. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Can I tell you, those are the two abominable sins that Satan has used on humanity from the very beginning. Idolatry, turning away from the only one and true God, and immorality, turning away from what God has established as far as relations and marriage. There's a lot of the same things going on in our world today. Gold was gone. Is the gold gone in your life? It might be. But it's because you forfeited your right to God's gold. The truth of the matter is, though, even though we forfeited God's right, our right to God's gold, God still loves us. God never gives up on us. As long as you're still here, if you're still alive, God still loves you and he still has a purpose for your life if you will turn to him. When God sees you're never going to come back, God will take our lives. Then it'll be too late. But God still loves us. What will you do when the gold's gone? The question right now. We've just mentioned a few things. God's gold. What are you going to do when God's gold is gone for your life? What are you going to do? Can I tell you? Brass is available. Things can still go well with brass shields. Not God's perfect will for your life, but can I tell you that God still loves you and he doesn't discard his children. He loves you, and God tells you this morning, even though the gold is gone, admit to it. It's not because God is at fault. It's because we are at fault. And if the gold is gone, listen to me, thank God for brass shields. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 7. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, it's the first thing that God's looking for. The word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them, look right here, some deliverance. They will not be put back in the very same position they were before their sin. You forfeited that. You had a position that God blessed you with, especially if that position calls for a certain type of honor. I know pastors that have had the position of a pastor and that have forfeited that position by committing sins, by allowing the position they have to corrupt them, and they're using the positions and they use their positions for sin. And God judged them and they lost that position of a pastor. But then later on in life, and when they acknowledge that and realize that, they confess and forsaken. And God says, you've lost your position, your right to the position of a pastor, but you can still have a brass shield. I still have a purpose for your life. I can still use you to some degree. You might have lost God's perfect will for your life, but God is here today telling you, I still love you. If you humble yourself, if you'll acknowledge my righteousness, I can still use you. Instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. God's permissive will for your life. Brass is what God offers after we've lost the gold. Restoration, praise the Lord for it. Possibly not to the same position. You've more than likely forfeited that. But there's still brass available. And can I tell you this morning, a brass shield is better than no shield. Stop thinking about the gold if you've lost it. Be thankful for the brass and use it. Use it. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. Can I tell you, there's many of us in here, in some area or other, have lost the perfect will. You've lost the pure gold. Every one of us here have lost the pure gold as far as the scars of sin. I live with scars of sin in my mind. I live with scars of sin. We all do. Everyone has a past. But that's gone. I can't focus on that. What I need to focus on, and I can still serve the Lord with a brass shield in my mind. Praise the Lord God that I have not, and it's only by the grace of God, I haven't lost my position of a gold shield as God's perfect will for my life as a pastor. I want to hold on to that. I don't want to lose that gold. You might be fighting right now whether you're going to stay married or not. Listen to me. That marriage is God's gold for your life. Don't run from it. Fix it. Fix it. It's God's gold. If you can't fix it, if it takes two, I understand that. God knows that. There might be a brass somewhere down the road. But don't give up on the gold until the gold is gone. When the gold is gone, be thankful for the brass. Because things can still go well, even with a brass shield. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I want God's perfect will. I want God's gold for every member of this church. I pray God's gold for every member. But the only one that can keep God's gold shield in your life is you. Do everything you can to keep his gold. But if the gold is gone, look to the brass. And do everything you can to keep the brass. Because there can still be blessings. Things can still go well with a brass shield. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I know this is the message you wanted me to preach this morning. I don't know how you have to make application, but I pray that everyone here would allow it to be applied to their lives to some degree. And Father, to someone here today that does not know you as their Savior, God, no matter how long they've put you off, I know it's your will now for them to get saved today. Help them not to turn away from you again. Help them to come to this altar and receive you while there's still time. God, if there's someone here today that's running from you, that is running from the gold, and God, you've been speaking to them, I pray they would acknowledge that today. They would come back to you this morning, confess and forsake. Look for your will for their lives. Work in our midst. Blessing this invitation.